So, yeah, I imagine no one here can completely relate to that, but we all have a family background of one sort or another, whether that be biological or adoptive or, you know, whatever circumstances, we were influenced as children by our upbringing. And also we had life modelled to us by them. And they, in turn, were influenced by what was around their prevailing culture and also previous generations. And we may be more or less aware of the things that have been passed on to us. We may have made deliberate choices along the way to either follow their example or to do things differently. Or we may have unconsciously followed patterns that were modelled to us. I would say it's fair to say that we all have probably a few blind spots. And sometimes these become exposed as we get to know other people and discover that our normal is not their normal. And, you know, that can happen in marriage or close friendships. And we sort of realise, you know, have those moments, don't we, where we think, oh, well, not everyone does it that way. Maybe you find yourself saying things like, I can't help it, it's just the way I am. Or maybe in times of stress, you find yourself resorting to coping methods that you have experienced other family members resorting to. Or maybe you have been unconsciously trying to fill the void that was left by a lack of nurture in your own life in your early years. And somehow feeling that deep connection that you desire is always out of reach. So starting off with a couple of biblical examples. So first of all, a positive one. Lois, Eunice and Timothy. Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So that's a really good example of a positive legacy left by Lois and then Eunice and passed on to Timothy. And a kind of less positive example, so in Genesis 20, Abraham said of his wife Sarah, she is my sister, this because he was afraid that, you know, kind of that he would be treated badly if they knew she was his wife, and so he basically sacrificed his wife. And then almost exactly the same thing happened with his son Isaac. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, she said, she is my sister. Again, it was fear that drove that, that kind of, and that ease of lying in a difficult situation. And then, so Isaac's son Jacob then lied. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, your firstborn Esau. So this ease of lying was passed on from one generation to another. Obviously, there's lots of positive things that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob passed on as well. But that was just one example of, you know, a kind of negative inheritance, if you like. So the good news is that if we believe in Jesus, our natural inheritance is not the final word. We have an additional inheritance which supersedes anything that we have received in the natural. In this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, how can someone be born when they are old, Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So we have a new inheritance. And Paul says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So we have a new identity that we've already been singing about. If we trust in Jesus, we have become a child of God. We have been adopted into God's family. And so we not only have our natural inheritance, we have this supernatural inheritance as well. So as children of God, we are able to choose what we accept and what we reject. And God, as we've said many times before, God does not force anything on us. We have to choose to step into what is ours. So we have to choose the positive things, and we have to make the choice to reject any negative influences on us. So we have a natural inheritance. So whoever cared for us as children, and other kind of significant people in our lives in those days. So this would be a mixture of good and bad experiences. Sometimes the balance is one way or another. You know, we're a diverse bunch of people here. We come from diverse backgrounds. And so, you know, we will have different memories of our childhood and different effects of those experiences. There are also external influences always going on, you know, cultural expectations, professionals who kind of speak into our lives, and, you know, all sorts of things that actually form part of that childhood experience. And one thing to note is that all experiences we've had will have affected us, whether or not we have memories of them. And such things as how, you know, whether we were nurtured or whether love was withheld from us will have a kind of lasting impact. Then our supernatural inheritance as children of God. So we are, the Bible says, we are co-heirs with Christ, and he has been appointed heir of all things. So all things are available to us as a child of God. And the Bible also says the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. And there is power, the power that raised Christ from the dead, that power is available to us. And his love, which is beyond our comprehension, is available to us. And there is nothing that cannot be healed. And there is no soul that cannot be restored. His shalom, his wholeness, peace, is available to each one of us. So God knows everything about us, even the things that we're not aware of. He knows everything, every situation we've encountered, and he has been there every step of the way. And in Galatians it says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So his desire is that we live in true freedom. So truly able to kind of live in this inheritance that we've been given in Christ, and free of anything, any negative influences that kind of stop us living in that freedom. So the course that we have been looking at, so the Keys to Freedom, was put together by an organisation called Mercy UK. Some of you may have heard of that. They've been running residential homes for young women for quite some years. And we've got a few copies of these books around the place. So different people have borrowed them, but they are available to borrow. And they are full of testimonies of young women who have received healing and freedom through the care of this organisation and through the love of God breaking into their lives. So some of these young women had extremely damaging experiences in their childhoods, kind of extremes of abuse and neglect and all sorts of things. But there are these really powerful testimonies of how God has healed and restored them. And I'm sure that amongst us here, there'll be equally lots of testimonies of how God has broken in and kind of brought healing from the wounds of our past and set us free from those things. His expertise is to renew us, to renew our minds and our hearts and make us whole. And while we will have all experienced positive things from our family life, even if they feel like they're completely overshadowed by the negative things. But the positive things do continue. They are, they continue to bring life. But we need to be aware that our supernatural inheritance is more than enough to replace any lack that we had experienced and restore this wholeness in our spirit, soul, and body. I think it's a really helpful exercise in Keys to Freedom is before kind of looking at some of the potential kind of negative family patterns is to look at positive family patterns that have been modelled to us through our family background, because I think this can kind of shift our perspective a little bit. If we can be thankful for the good things that have been passed on to us, it kind of positions us to then kind of be able to break free of the negative things. I think, obviously, for some people, I'm aware of the, you know, kind of that we are diverse, and for some people, it's hard to look back and see something positive, but it may be something to return to when you've kind of taken a step in forgiving and being set free from some of the negative things, to go back and ask God to reveal some positive things, because I think these are really kind of helpful to, because God is in the business of redeeming. He's, you know, he will maintain and the positive things will prevail, if you like, but they are then added to by the positive things of the Spirit. I want to read one little testimony, just to sort of help give a different sort of experience. So Emma came from a very destructive family line where addiction, abuse, betrayal and sexual sin were rampant in every generation and seemingly every person in her family line. Emma had her own struggles as well. But after meeting and accepting Jesus into her life, she began to experience new levels of freedom from the extensive patterns that were passed down to her from her family. During her healing process, Emma learned about generational patterns. As you can imagine, she had no difficulty in identifying a list of the negative patterns that needed addressing. In fact, looking at the list of negative and broken patterns was overwhelming to her. Emma found herself asking the Lord, "Is there anything good from my family line? Anything at all?" At that moment, the Lord reminded Emma of how, as a child, she often saw her grandmother on her knees. The Lord showed Emma that her grandmother had prayed for her and for many of her family members, which eventually led Emma to accept Jesus and start on a new path of freedom and wholeness. This revelation was so significant for Emma and allowed her to continue forward in her healing process, knowing that while her family line held a lot of difficulty and brokenness, it also held some blessing as well. The thing about the Holy Spirit is he knows, and he is able to reveal things to us that are helpful to us in our steps to healing. So, just a few kind of, just these are just examples of identifying some positive patterns. I think it's a really good sort of exercise to sort of look back and identify positive things that were modelled to us in our childhood, and be thankful for these. God wants us to get to a stage where we can look back, even at the worst times of our lives, without them affecting adversely, and kind of be able to see with new eyes the good influences that were there in our lives. So moving on, again, just some examples. There seems like a long list, but it could go on. And again, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal negative patterns in our family line that have affected us. And God deals with us gently. He's not necessarily, I think that he wouldn't want us to kind of be overwhelmed by looking at everything all in one go. And I think maybe it's asking God to just identify one thing that he wants to work on at the moment and help us to break free of and find healing and restoration from. So that's the key in the Keys to Freedom course. That's what is suggested, that you ask God to reveal one negative pattern. Look at how this has affected you in your own life and then identify whether that negative pattern has appeared in your own life and consider what it would be like to be completely free of it. So God has positioned us so that we can take authority over our family line. This is from the Old Testament, Moses' words to the Israelites. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. So this emphasises, there's a lot about choice involved. As a son or daughter of God, we can exercise authority and choose what we allow to influence our life. We have the authority to break any agreement with any negative patterns that we identify and that God reveals to us. Once we've identified this, we need to repent of the sins that we have committed as a result of this influence in our lives. And we can ask God to reveal a new generational blessing that he wants to replace this negative one with. Choosing to forgive is a really important stage in finding freedom. We'll never be fully free while we hold on to unforgiveness. It is a very destructive thing in our lives. But obviously, there are some horrific things that we are called to forgive. And this can sometimes take lots of support and can be a process. But the first stage is choosing to forgive and recognising that is the way to true freedom. We need to take the steps that we've already heard about in previous weeks about replacing lies with truth and daily making those declarations so that it really becomes ingrained in us, the truth that God replaces the lies with. And we don't just win this victory for ourselves. We have a legacy to pass on. And I don't mean just in the biological children sense. You know, in the family of God, we all become or are parents in the faith, so there's that additional role of being a parent or a mentor or a leader or, you know, in that sort of parental role over other people. So we have a legacy to pass on to children in the broadest sense of the word. We are in a position to affect the upcoming generations through the breakthroughs that we find in our own lives. In the spiritual realm, if we are able to break through a particular struggle in our own lives, in the spiritual realm we are then positioned that we can actually get alongside someone else and enable them to find that breakthrough quicker than what we did. So, and just looking as well at the fact that some of us, or maybe all of us to some extent, will have deep wounds, you know, even from before we have memories. God's design is for us to be fully integrated in our soul and between our spirit, soul and body. Soul encompasses those things like thinking, feeling and our ability to choose, our will. Ideally, you receive, or you know, your emotional needs as a baby are met through your significant people in your lives. But for one reason or another, many people do not have those emotional needs fully met. And so this leaves a legacy, it leaves a kind of emotional wounds. And it can cause a fragmentation in our soul, so a kind of a discontinuity between our thoughts, feelings, our choices. And, you know, I think even probably the most loving parents, there are additional factors that come in, aren't there? So it's not about, I think probably all of us to some extent, because we, you know, the world is as it is, we'll have some of those type of things. But for some people, it's more extreme than others. We might have had parents who were, for one reason or another, unable to provide that nurture that we needed. So our emotions can be shut down as a result, or disconnected from our thinking. I mean, one question to think about is this: your faith in God, is it a purely a mind thing? Or do you find that you connect, you know, if you learn something new, your emotions are connected as well, that you respond to God with your heart as well as your thinking? It's that kind of thing. It's how connected are your emotions with your thinking and decision making? Or are we unconsciously seeking out alternative ways, trying to meet that unmet need deep within us? And that can be all sorts of things in our lives, whether it's chasing after the wrong sort of relationships, or you know, addictions, or any other sort of escapism. We may be left with a sense of insecurity. We may not be connected with our feelings at all. We may have kind of completely buried our feelings. We may be unable to deal with the strength of feelings when they do come up. All those kind of things are indicators that our soul is a bit fragmented, it's a bit kind of broken. But the good news is, of course, that God is able to do the rewiring. He's able to step in and bring that full integration between our thinking and emotions, between our spirit, soul, and body. What we need, first and foremost, is an overwhelming encounter of God's love. It cannot be purely done on just retraining our brains, important though that is. It's we need that real deep encounter with God's love. We need to know it, experience it. Once we've had that, then we are then able to worship fully in spirit and in truth. There'll be a reconnecting. There's a few verses there that kind of express what it is like to have that security in God, in his love. So I am humbled and quieted in your presence like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap. I am your resting child and my soul is content in you. Psalm 23 said, he restores my soul. And Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. So that is God's desire for us, that we discover for ourselves that overwhelming, that perfect mothering, fathering love that God has. And that brings so much healing. So just a little picture of kind of God's work of restoration. There are a few kind of places in the Bible where it talks about God being a potter. So there's one here. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. So there's no issue in our lives that's impossible for God to deal with, even if the origin is from way back, even if it's from generations back. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. In 1 Thessalonians it says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless. And the root of that word is whole and unbroken, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God's desire is to heal and reintegrate the broken parts of your soul through an encounter with his love and the renewing of our minds that has been talked about previously. And just a little example I came across of Kintsugi art, which probably many people here are more aware of than I was, but in Japan, apparently, they don't throw broken pots away. They restore them with gold dust. And it's this Japanese art of restoring broken pots by repairing with gold. And so that they have lines, these pots have lines of gold running through them. And so the end result is more beautiful and certainly more valuable than the original pot was. So I think this is a really nice picture of what God does. You know, he takes us in our brokenness and kind of weaves his gold, you know, through that and repairs us, restores us to something more beautiful than what was there before. So there's covered a lot of different things, and different things may resonate with different people. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is that he's saying to you personally today. Just a sort of few things to possibly reflect upon. So maybe do this exercise of identifying the positive family patterns that were your inheritance and give thanks for these. Ask the Holy Spirit if there's a negative pattern from your family line that he wants you to identify and take authority over and break free from in your own life. If there are family members or others you need to forgive, ask God for his help, because he will help. It may seem a daunting thing, but he will help, and make that choice that you will forgive them, because that is the path to freedom. And if you recognise that there's this sort of brokenness, this fragmentation in your own soul, acknowledge that God is the one who's able to heal and restore your soul. Ask him to reveal his father and mother heart for you, to repair those connections in your brain between your thinking and emotions, and to bring that integration between your spirit, soul and body. And remember that your supernatural inheritance in Christ is greater than your natural inheritance. So there's nothing that cannot be dealt with. Also ask God to reveal a generational blessing that is giving you as a legacy that you can pass on to your children, whether biological or spiritual children. And God asks us to pass the love on. The love that he gives us is not for us to hold on to, it's to pass on to others. In Romans 12 it says, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves. And this word devoted is philostorgos, which is a combination of two Greek words, which was one for that sort of parental love and one which is a friendship love, and it's kind of like a combined word. So we're kind of to love each other in the way that, you know, a mother cares for their newborn child, that devotion. We're called to that with each other. And the other word, Philadelphia, is like a brotherly, sisterly love. So again, it's about, you know, we are family and we need to love each other as family. So I'd like to just lead us in a time of prayer, and then we just need to ask God, you know, what is his word to you personally today? So ask that of him. What does he want to reveal to you? What blessing? This is a hopeful message. You know, I believe that God is saying there's always hope. There's hope of full restoration. So, and that applies to us. It applies to our families. There is nothing that is beyond God's touch, and so we need to really go from this point believing that and ask him what he actually wants to do in our lives today.